Well, good morning. Let's continue worshiping together. Let me encourage you to take your copy of the scriptures and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians is kind of tucked away in the middle of the New Testament. It can be a little difficult to find, but I'll give you just a moment. There's Bibles in the pew rack in front of you and or the verses that I refer to should be on the screen behind me as well. While you're turning there, I'll give you just a second, but just a reminder that through October 24th, calling on the church, encouraging the church, challenging the church to take 5 minutes a day, every day, and pray, asking the Lord to show you specifically what's next as God has called you to West Franklin. What does he have for you next? And that'll take a couple of seconds, not very long, and then I just encourage you to use the rest of the 5 minutes to listen. Listen for what the Spirit of God may say to you. I do believe Jesus is alive. I do believe we have a God who talks, and it's amazing what happens when we ask him. He speaks. And his will for us is not something he likes to keep secret. And when we ask and seek, he does answer. And so I want to encourage you to ask him, and I believe he will show you and lead you to what he's calling you to do as a member of this church and as a follower of Jesus. Okay? Yeah, 8 days counting today. And I'll give you some time for today at the end of this service when the musicians come back on the stage. Hopefully you found Ephesians 4. I'm going to ask you, before you get real comfortable, if you'd stand up again with me, and let's read these verses. So stand in honor of God's word, and let's read beginning with verse 7, and I'll read down through verse 16. So Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 7. The Spirit of God inspired the Apostle Paul to write these words to the church in Ephesus. Now grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. For it says, when he ascended on high, he took the captives captive, and he gave gifts to people. But what does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower parts of the earth? The one who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens to fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, equipping the saints for the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness and the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. From him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. Father, would you help us process why you inspired Paul to write these words and how it fits with our values? And I pray that the church at West Franklin would reach her full potential here in Franklin, because each of us individually are reaching our full potential as we follow you and obey you in what you've called us to do. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. So last week I shared with you that we have five values. Brentwood Baptist Church has five values. They are gospel first in all ways. Uniquely called, almost forgot the one I was preaching on today. Uniquely called, intentional innovation, crossing cultures, and multiplication matters. And if you were here last time, you'll know that I spent all of the time talking about why that first one is first, why gospel first and always is far and beyond the most important value that we hold, why it's the most important value that we hold, and what that means for our particular campus. This morning, I want to talk for a few minutes about what's arguably the close second. Well, you know what? It's not a close second. It's a second, but it, as I just said, gospel first and always is far and above. So how could it be? Anyway, I'm uniquely called is probably second, because if you've been a part of any of our churches, any of the Brentwood Baptist churches, you have heard and or seen us stress the fact that we believe you are uniquely called by God. What we mean by that is, if you are a follower of Jesus, we believe he gives you his Spirit. And when he gives you his Spirit, he has given you a unique spiritual gift to serve the church where he has you. We believe you are individually, uniquely called. If you're a Christian and you are a member of this church that God has called you to, he has uniquely called you and gifted you and equipped you in some way, shape, form, or fashion to build up the body of Christ here. How does this fit with last week? Well, we talked about gospel first and always. I don't know if you were tracking with Paul in the first part of these verses, but he uses a lot of he ascended, he descended, he ascended, he descended. What Paul is basically saying there is that when Jesus ascended back into heaven after conquering sin, death, burial, resurrection, after he descended to earth, did what he was supposed to do, and then ascended, a victorious king is going to share the spoils with his people. A victorious king is going to say, here's what I've accomplished. Here's what I've given you. And now he's in heaven, if you will, saying, and you get a gift, and you get a gift, and you get a gift, and you get a gift. Everybody gets a spiritual gift. Please don't tell anybody that I compare Jesus to Oprah, but you get the point. He's conquered, and now he's saying, you're my child. You have a gift, and you get a gift, and you get a gift, and you get a gift. Exactly what Paul is saying. He has ascended, giving gifts to his people. Now, we believe you're uniquely called, and we're going to talk about what that means and how you can identify your unique calling. But before we do that, before we get into the weeds, I need to tell you, we've got to be really, 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 really careful here. Because if we're not careful, you will walk out of here thinking, well, I just heard I should be doing this. I ought to do this. And if I don't do this, nobody else is going to do that. That's not how I want to roll for the next few minutes. It would be very, very, very wrong for me to follow up a sermon on the gospel by telling you, you better get to work. That's not how it's supposed to operate. Go get to work now, so God will love you. After I just told you about the gospel. It would not be very wise of me to have to, after preaching a sermon on grace last week, to guilt you into signing up for some area of ministry. It would not be very healthy for me to preach a gospel of refreshment and then shame you to sign up to go do something. I've been guilty of doing that. And I think there are churches all across America that have pastors guilty of doing that. You should be doing that. You ought to do this. If you don't step up and do that, nobody's going to do it. I want to be careful not to do that. Have you ever heard of the nuns? Not Catholic nuns, but the N-O-N-E-S nuns? It's a growing group of people, a demographic of people who identify as nothing religious, spiritually speaking. When they fill out the surveys or whatever, and they say no religious affiliation, no denominational affiliation, don't even know or care if there's a God. They're called the nuns. Well, I'm learning that there's another demographic of people that's growing called the duns, D-O-N-E-S. And this is quite frightening, but I get it. These are 50, 60, 70-year-olds who have grown up in church and said, I've served my time, I've done my thing, and I'm done with church. And COVID has accelerated the duns because now they've figured that if they get up in time, maybe they'll just watch online. They're exhausted, they're tired, they signed up to do stuff because they were guilty, they signed up to do stuff because they were shamed, they signed up to do stuff because they thought that if they didn't do it, nobody else would do it, and now they're saying, I've done my time, if I want to, I'll watch online, have a great life, church. And West Franklin, I do not want to create a culture of future duns. It scares me, and I get it. I want you to hear me, and I want you to hear me good. Jesus does not need you. Jesus is not sitting in heaven stressed out because you hadn't signed up to work in the nursery. Now, I get stressed out sometimes when you don't. But Jesus doesn't need us to build his church. Do you know in Matthew 16, Jesus says he will build his church? He's going to do it. This isn't about what you should do. This isn't about you working for God. This is about you joining God in what he's inviting you to. It's a big difference. When you use your spiritual gift, when you identify your unique calling, it should not be something that mentally or spiritually exhausts you. It is a grace that should ignite you. It's unique to you. As a matter of fact, if you've got your Bible open in Ephesians, flip back a couple chapters to chapter 2, verse 10. Look at what he had said earlier to the church in Ephesus about workmanship. Chapter 2, verse 10, Paul writes, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do." These are prepared ahead of time. So it's our job to discover what he's doing and join him in that. He's not stressed. He is inviting us to join him in what he has uniquely called you and placed you here to do. That's a big difference than saying, "I better do it or it's just not going to be done." I give you about 3 or 4 years and you're exhausted and you want to quit. Churches are full of that. Some of you have come to this church because you left a church where everybody was mad at each other because they were doing what they didn't want to do. I don't want to be that. And I've been in churches for 44 years and we're good at that. And I don't want to do that. This is about joining God in what he's already doing. And that's freeing. As a matter of fact, if you notice in this section that we just read a few minutes ago, Paul starts off this section about gifts with these words, verse 7 of chapter 4. "Now grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." Think about that. Grace, gifts, gifts, grace, grace, gifts, gifts, grace. Grace doesn't burden, grace relieves. Grace doesn't cause spiritual exhaustion. Grace brings spiritual excitement. When you put grace and gifts together, it changes the dynamic. Have you ever gotten a gift before where somebody gave you and it was very thoughtful and they were very generous, but you just didn't want that gift? I said this in the first service and somebody came up to me after and said, "I was sent by my mother-in-law." I wish I'd looked at him. You know those gifts that you've gotten where somebody means well, but they obviously haven't spent a whole lot of time getting to know you well, and they give you this gift and you open it and you're like, "Neat." And then you think, "I've got to use this thing, for crying out loud. I don't want to use this gift. I'm going to guess every time my mother-in-law comes over, I've got to put that painting above the toilet now so she sees it." We've all received those gifts where we're like, "That was very kind and generous of you, but that's not me. I don't want that gift." Sometimes I feel that we do that with God and his gifts, that maybe he doesn't know us. But we've all gotten those gifts where we open it and our hearts get full because somebody knew us. Somebody took time, and we can't wait to go home to put that on the wall, or we can't wait to go home to use that thing. So husbands, don't buy your wives blenders on Valentine's Day. That's not a good idea. But there's a big difference when somebody gives you a gift because they thought about you and they knew exactly what you wanted and something you feel like you've got to use just out of duty. Paul says these are grace gifts. So when we get into this, church at West Franklin, I want you to hear me. I'm inviting you to identify what your unique calling is by joining God in what he's already doing. It's a gift of grace. So how do we identify your unique calling? Let me give you 3 questions that I want to encourage you to process this morning and in the days, weeks to come. Question number 1, how am I wired? How am I gifted? How has God wired me or gifted me? Question number 2, what does the church at West Franklin need right now? What is lacking at the church at West Franklin right now? And number 3, how is this geared towards the mission of the church? Those are the 3 questions. How am I wired? How am I gifted? What is lacking at the church at West Franklin right now? And how is this geared towards the mission of the church? I believe if you ask and answer those 3 questions honestly with yourself, with others, before the Lord, in the middle of all those 3 questions, in the guts of those 3 questions is your unique calling, okay? So let's talk about each of those 3 questions for just a few moments. First, What is my calling? What is my gift? How has God wired me as being a member of this church? How has God wired me to be a follower of him in the local church? Let me show you where I get this from the Bible. You've been talking about everybody getting a spiritual gift, Pastor. Where do you see that? Well, I just showed you from verse 7 that he promises to give gifts, and they are grace gifts. They are gifts of grace. We're like, I can't believe I got that gift. But I want you to look at the very last verse, how he ends this section in verse 16. Paul writes, from him the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. Say, do I have a spiritual gift? Yes. If you are a Christian, you have been given a gift, and it is to carry out your individual part. So one of the first things we have to do is ask the Lord, how have you gifted me? How have you wired me? And your wiring is going to be different from my wiring. And your giftedness is going to be different from somebody else's giftedness. And you're going to tell somebody your spiritual gift, and they're going to say, my goodness, I could never do that. I'm glad God wired you this way. That's how it works. As a matter of fact, just to reemphasize or emphasize even more this point, in the middle of these verses, Paul says, it's not the pastor's job to do the ministry. The pastor's job is to equip the church to do the work of the ministry through their spiritual gifts. Look at it with me in verse 11. Verse 11, he says, and he himself, Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ. Isn't that interesting? If I'm reading that verse correctly, I should not have title minister. You should have the title minister. My title should be equipper. Equipper of the church to carry out the gifts and ministry of the local church. So I want to ask you, have you ever asked Jesus to tell you what your spiritual gift is? I would encourage you to take some spiritual gift tests. There are some good ones out there. There's some really bad ones, but there's some good ones out there. But before you do that, why don't you ask Jesus what your gift is? I don't think he wants to keep it a secret. What fires you up? What are you passionate about? What are you eager about? What excites you? Not drains you, but energizes you. Where have you seen spiritual fruit from your efforts before? What is something that if God called you to do, you'd have to look back and say, it had to be God. Because no way I could do it. I remember in high school when I would sing in the youth choir. Yes, I sang in the youth choir in high school. It was really good. And I'm kidding, sort of. And the choir director would ask me weeks and months in advance to sing a solo sometimes. I would wake up all of those weeks leading up to that Sunday night, dripping with sweat, nervous, scared to death. Why? Because I hated to be in front of people. And then he said, I'm calling you to pastor. Well, that's something you're going to have to do. What are those things that you have a longing for, but your first thought, I don't know. I don't think I could do that. And you're going to do it, and somebody's going to come up to you and say, man, I wish I could, I don't know how you do it. And you're going to say, that's the Lord, it's nothing. Like you ask one of these musicians after service today, like one of these guitar players, or Brad, he does like 14 different instruments up here. You're going to say, man, that was amazing. How'd you do that? That's nothing. Yes, it is something. You try it. It's a gift. So how has God wired you? How has God made you? Ask him what your spiritual gift is. Ask him. Use these last 8 days of my challenge to pray for 5 minutes a day. Say, show me what my spiritual gift is. Or did you know that half of our Discover class, we're having another one in November, half of our Discover class is to help you discover how you're wired and how it fits within the church? That's what half of our class is all about. So that's question number one. Question number two, what is lacking at the church at West Franklin right now? What is lacking at West Franklin now? In other words, I'm giving you the permission to find something that you don't like about the church and keep it to yourself. If you've been given a spiritual gift, hear me, the spiritual gift you've been in, if you're a Christian, you have a spiritual gift. That spiritual gift is for the sole purpose or the primary purpose of building up the church. God may use your gift in other ways, But he did not give you that gift just so you can go build a platform. He did not give you that gift just so you can exercise it in outside venues, though he can. He gave you your gift to build up the church. I'm fixing to read again, Ephesians 4. I'm going to start in verse 12 and I'm going to read through verse 16. I want you to listen for the tone, the emotion, for the purpose of these gifts and see if you don't see it with me. Verse 12, chapter 4. Equipping the saints for the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be children tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching by human cunning with cleverness and the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. From him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. Paul, would you say in a one or two words or a small phrase what you mean by that? He would say, you've been given a spiritual gift, church, so that the church can be healthy. So the church can grow in maturation. So that you grow in health spiritually and the church at West Franklin grows in health spiritually. Do I mean growth numerically? Yes, but not mainly. We're given a spiritual gift so that West Franklin can be a healthy congregation. And now I'm asking you to look around the church and say, what do I not like? And what I mean by that is, what's not happening that drives me crazy? Why aren't we doing that, Pastor? Well, maybe because God called you to do it. You're probably passionate about something that I'm not passionate about. And you're probably going to see something that I don't see. And by the way, it is very, very freeing to go ahead and admit that you're not passionate about everything. For years as a pastor, I tried to fake it. Somebody would come to me with their passion ministry and I'd be such a burden. Now, it is so freeing to admit that I'm not passionate about everything. I'm glad you are. But God uniquely wired you, and you're going to see something. You're going to be like, how come we're not doing that? And I'm going to say, because maybe he's called you to do that. How come we're not, how come we can't be like that other church? Because we're not that other church. And maybe God's called you to do that here. There's some of you, and you know it. You're passionate about something, and you're looking for somebody else to do it. Maybe you're passionate because God's telling you to do it. Now, notice I said now. You know why I said what's lacking at West Franklin now? Because many of us church people, when we say, what do we need to do next, we immediately divert to 1986. I remember back in the 80s when God called me to do this, and I didn't. It was wonderful. Well, I'm glad that was wonderful, but it's the year 2021. Ministry's going to look different today. Did you know we're coming out of a pandemic? I'm looking at a totally different congregation than I looked at 2 years ago. And we're fixing to go into renovations. There's a good feeling. There's a good part of me that thinks in 6 to 8 months, I'm going to be looking at a totally different congregation. What is lacking now? Not what used to work then. Somebody once thought that it was a good idea to have a lock-in for teenagers. That might be the most idiotic, dumb thing I've ever heard in my life. And I've been to them. Nothing good happens with middle school boys and Dr. Pepper after 10:30 at night. If you knew some of the things I did at a lock-in, I'd be fired. It is not good, okay? So somebody once thought it was a good idea and it's reached people. It might have been, probably not, but it might have been, but not anymore. Be careful. Did you know the iPhone was released just 14 years ago in 2007? 2007, the iPhone was released, changed everything. And some of us are wanting to do ministry in a pre-internet age. It's going to look different. I don't like it. I wish the 90s still worked. But the 90s are gone. What is lacking at West Franklin now? And final question. How is this geared towards the mission of the church? How are these two, you answer the first two questions. I'm wired, I'm gifted a certain way. God's called me to this. I have a passion. I wish this were done at the church. Nobody's doing it. Maybe God's calling me and inviting me into it. So maybe I'm gonna step up there. Now I've gotta ask this third piece. How is it geared towards the mission of the church? That's important. If God's called you to this campus, or really any of Brentwood's campuses, we need to say, how does it fit? Because if God's called you here, it's got to fit in this mission. And our mission, you know it, engage the whole person with the whole gospel of Jesus Christ anywhere, anytime, with anybody. Engage the whole person with the whole gospel of Jesus Christ anywhere, anytime, with anybody. I've preached on it. I've talked about it. I believe it's a very good mission statement. I believe it's a very biblical mission statement. And we're going to see that this is done by challenging every one of you to be in a group that makes disciples. We're going to challenge and equip and do everything we can to help you have gospel conversations with the lost and searching you're around. And we're going to do what we can to help make sure there are healthy congregations around Middle Tennessee and beyond. That's what our passion is, to help engage the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when you answer those first two questions, I want to encourage you, challenge you, push you to say, how does this fit under the mission of engage the whole person with the whole gospel of Jesus Christ anywhere, anytime, with anybody? In other words, if you were to come to me and say, Pastor Matt, I have a passion to weave baskets, and I would like to gather with 6 or 7 church people on Tuesday nights to weave baskets, I'm going to look at you and say, I am so glad God has given you a passion to weave baskets. That's fantastic. Why don't you invite them over to your home, and why don't you weave baskets in your living room, and then bake cookies and put those cookies in one of those baskets and bring them to my office? I like chocolate chip. However, if you were to come to me and say, Pastor Matt, I am burdened for my neighborhood to know Jesus, and I'd like to open my home for a Bible study, can you help? I'm all in. We're all in. How can we equip you for that? If you come to me as a gentleman and you say, Pastor Matt, I have a burden and a passion to learn how to throw golf balls on a football field. Can I get with some other men to do that? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just Google Lane Kiffin later. I'm going to say, I'm glad that you like to throw golf balls on a football field. I've got a couple I'll give you. You can just toss them. But we're not going to do that here. But if you come to me and say, Pastor Matt, I'm a man who longs to help other men understand how the gospel impacts their marriage. I hurt for men to understand how the gospel impacts how they raise their children. I have a burden to help men understand how the gospel helps them in their employment. And I'm going to say, let me do what I can to help you. I believe God's calling you to that. Somebody else may say, Pastor Matt, I love tacos. And I'm going to say, me too. And you're going to say, can we have a Taco Tuesday at the church with the church every Tuesday? And I'm going to say, no. Maybe next time we have family gathering, we'll have Taco Sunday. But not every Tuesday. You say, why not? I'm going to say, well, tell me how it fits in the mission. You say, well, I love tacos. I say, I do too. I may say, why don't you go learn Spanish? And why don't you get to know some Hispanics who really know how to make tacos? You learn with them and help them understand the gospel as you're making tacos, and come bring some of those tacos to my office. Do you see? Big difference. Just having a great idea, it may be fine, but it doesn't mean it fits within the mission of the church. So I want to ask you to ask these three questions. How am I wired? How has God gifted me? What is lacking at the Church of West Franklin now? And how is it geared to fulfill the mission of engaging the whole person with the whole gospel of Jesus Christ anywhere, anytime, with anybody? And I want to give you just a few minutes as we close to ask the Lord that, to begin the process that personally or with the person or people you're sitting with. I'm going to ask the musicians to make their way up. We're going to go out singing a song or so, a song or two, I don't know. And all of them are going to be coming back up, because we've only got this Sunday and next Sunday before we go into the fellowship hall. And I want to sing a little bit. Well, we're going to sing over there, but you know what I mean. As they're coming up, I want to share this with you. It's an email I got this week. An email I got from a gentleman who was very honest, and he said, Matt, I got to tell you, 7.5 years ago, before we merged with Brentwood, I was very skeptical. He said, I was very, very skeptical of merging with Brentwood Baptist Church. And he said, now it's 7.5 years later, and I'm doing something I never thought I'd do in a million years. He said, 7.5 years ago, I was merely sitting, would rarely come, and when it came up that we may be merging with this church, I just really wasn't for it. But now here we are. And he said, about a month ago, I started a Bible study at an organization, a secular organization that I've been a part of for years. And I get to teach the Bible to these people that many of them don't yet know the Lord. He said, I never, ever, ever would have done that were it not the Lord. Why do I share that with you? Because there's a reason we hold these values high. When we say this is who we are over and over again, eventually you begin, I believe, to listen to the Lord. And the Lord's going to call you to some things that are uncomfortable. But when you join him in something he leads you to, you may go home tired, but it's a good tired. It's a rich tired. And I'm simply inviting you to listen to the voice of the Lord and join him in how he's uniquely wired and called you. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to give you an opportunity just to worship, to pray, to seek the Lord and begin that process of hearing from him. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for dying. Thank you for rising again. Everything is built on that. And the Bible says when you ascended, you give gifts. You share the spoils of a victorious king with your people. Father, would you reveal the ways you've called us uniquely, the ways you've wired us? Would you show us how you've given us passion for certain things that maybe others don't have, but we have? And may we be able to fulfill this mission because we believe it is the great commission that you've given the local church. And I pray that the Church of West Franklin reach her full potential in this part of our city and wherever else you lead us. These things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.